The military universities include cybersecurity programs. Now one academic is asking, why doesn't the government just create a standalone cyber academy of its own? Mark Hagerot makes that proposal in a recent foreign policy article. Hagerot, chancellor of the North Dakota University System, tells Federal News Radio's Eric White why he thinks the time is ripe.
We are at a period of just profound change. And, you know, having been a long-serving military officer and then professor, you know, in an advanced technology field in cyber, I just realized as I was observing the lagging ability of our government to create the workforce that we needed to get some more solutions on the table. And that'd be the first distinction I make is, you know, RSA and other leading companies, if they find a new, you know, algorithm, a new cryptography program, they can mass produce this and send it around the world, you know, through the internet and in a matter of probably days. But it comes to people, it takes years of education, inculcating values, norms, et cetera. And we are woefully behind, as your own publication has published articles on, in the race to create human talent to meet the cyberspace challenge we're facing. So this is one more solution that I'm surprised hasn't been adopted yet, because I'd like to say, first off, that Homeland Security, NSA, Department are doing enormous work in this field, the National Initiative for Cyber Education, NICE. They have all sorts of programs, incentives, credentialing. My own state here in North Dakota, we are working to apply for some of those credentials and will continue to do so. But it really surprised me that one of the things that was missing was a dedicated academy for undergraduates in this field. So that was the genesis of the article.
So pretty much every branch of the military now is stressing having their own cyber program, and you know the Naval Academy is going to build their own cyber facility. Why wouldn't it just be sufficient to have a sector of each branch covering this area?
Well, it's a great question, and I've thought about it a lot, as my co-author has. They are doing wonderful work. You know, I'm an Annapolis grad. I actually spent a half year at West Point. I served with the Army in Afghanistan. So these are such wonderful institutions and just selfless organizations in a tough time. But there's a couple reasons why they can't do it alone, and they should keep doing what they're doing. But the first one is they are traditional, you know, industrial age academies created with the last meta revolution, if you want to call it that, which was industrialization in warfare and in our economy. And so they have divided responsibilities. They must protect us in the physical domain, at sea, on land, and in the air. And they must do that because, as we were talking before the show, there's going to be the whole emergence of robotic warfare, that they have a huge challenge of how to modify their physical forces to defend against that. So the existing academies have a split responsibility of physically manning those areas. A second problem with the existing academies is they must have strict physical requirements. I was the chair of the admissions board at Annapolis, and I tell you, I think probably close to 80%, if not more, of all the admitted students were former varsity athletes, you know, almost as close to physical perfection as you can get. But that leaves behind so many people, but for a rational reason, you know. I mean, you've got to be able to carry a pack across, you know, broken country in Afghanistan or fly a jet fighter and take umpteen Gs of force. So the traditional academies must balance that. The other thing I'd say, and I'm a former faculty member, you know, and I'm actually got joint appointments here in both history, philosophy, and religion, and engineering, but the faculty at these academies, you know, are of a traditional background, and you know, in the case of Annapolis and some of the war colleges, they have the benefit of tenure, which means the existing structure, the faculty, can be there for another 30, 35 years, and we are in a period of rapid transformation. So how do you bring in the Silicon Valley people, the NSA people, the people that don't have those PhDs yet? Well, under an existing structure like this, you've got to go through the tenure hiring process and 7 years to tenure. And I know at Annapolis they're trying to adapt this as quickly as they can, but you know, then you've got accreditation problems. So the existing academies are doing great work, but they have divided responsibilities in the physical sphere. They have requirements of physical entry, which I understand, and their faculty are established over 100 years, whereas a new academy from ground up, you build it the way you need it, you can bypass all those limits and get to what you've got to do much faster.
We're speaking with Mark Haggerod. He's chancellor of the North Dakota University System. So you were speaking about some of the applicants that you got at the Naval Academy. I imagine that maybe having a cyber university would help fill the cyber workspace, since a lot of academy recruits, whether it's West Point or the Naval Academy, you know, you said that they're top of the line for their physicality. They, you don't want to waste that physicality by putting them behind a desk the rest of their career.
Well, correct. I mean, I served in Afghanistan in an education role, and I was just, you know, honored to see these guys come off the helicopters doing the operations, you know, and the physical demands on them. And so we need those people who are brilliant academically but also physical. But think of all the young people that may be, you know, in a wheelchair. Or even think about our veterans who came back, you know, our enlisted veterans who came back who want to serve and they can't because they were disabled. Well, now a cyber academy can admit them. And as you saw in the article, we would, you know, actually, quite frankly, not make, you know, Division I sports a priority, which are a tradition now at the big academies. And so we could bring in people to serve their country in ways that the other academies can't without a radical transformation. And they may, actually. I mean, the academies may eventually radically transform admissions where they take 20% of disabilities. I mean, this may happen, but you can imagine how long that'll take, going through the foundations and the stakeholders and everything else to get there. And we are in a crisis. I mean, I've been on this topic for years, and until this election, I had people saying it's no big deal. In fact, it was interesting. I was at one conference, and a business executive was asked, well, this is great. This digital technology you have is related to robotics and networks. What are the long-term life cycle costs of this? And he didn't mention cyber costs. And so we pressed him, what were the long-term cyber costs? And this executive of a major company said, well, when the cyber problem is solved, this will drop off. It is never going to be solved. Okay, this is the world we are in. Until the day my great-great-grandchildren die, we are going to be fighting in cyberspace and the digital networks, and we need to make long-term investments like an academy. It's not going to go away. Okay, that's probably where we're coming from.
So you get the attention of all the needed lawmakers and all the needed representatives. They say, all right, Mark, set up the cyber academy. What do you envision the structure of this would look like?
Well, first off, it has to have a hybrid presence. It needs to be physically in a place so you can build culture. I don't know if you've seen some of the recent literature coming out on business valuations. A recent book called The Wealth of Humans by Ryan Avant, just an article in a business periodical, estimated that the value of many companies, 80% of it is our people, culture, and process. Well, that's bringing people together and developing a culture and then educating them in processes. And that requires a physical presence. So I see this as a physical place, but also, unlike some of the academies, big distance education where the world's experts, you know, can pipe in, you know, and, you know, I mean, shoot, maybe the CEO of Microsoft can teach a course on, you know, the grand strategy of cyberspace to these young officers, candidates, GS candidates. So both physical, so you build culture, connections, and people, and then also hybrid, where distance courses and probably very generous with, I would think, internships, that it would be built in, you know, a huge percentage of these would be internships, much like currently the Navy or the Army do summer cruises in combat units. Well, the cruises would be Wall Street, the utility industry, go back to your home state and work in the National Guard to build those connections to, you know, the huge infrastructure that's going to be the battleground of the future. The stakes are incredibly high. And again, going back to the World War I anniversary, you know, our great grandfathers failed to adapt to the reality of what war had become, and it had profound consequences for people who never thought war was interested in them, right? Before, war was behind the front lines, and now cities are being bombed, countries are being starved, and the failure to understand the magnitude of the technological change led to literally the collapse of civil societies from Russia, Turkey, Austria. Germany barely hung in there, but you know their king was gone. So the consequences are much broader and beyond the services. So I would just encourage your readers that they should be engaged because we got to get this right fairly soon. And Cyber Academy could be one of those missing pieces we haven't adopted yet to complement, again, the great efforts being done by NSA and Homeland Security on their many other, you know, kind of boot camps, certificates, and, you know, grant money. But we don't have an academy devoted to this yet, and I think it's time for that.
Mark Hagerot is Chancellor of the North Dakota University System, speaking with Federal News Radio's Eric White. Find this interview posted at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.